Tonight is the 29th of August, 2016. I have Brother Marvin on the phone. We're about to do a conference call with Philip Gage concerning two things. The first thing is his accusation against Brother Marvin that he's sinned, and getting clarification on that and letting Brother Marvin answer his accusations. And the second thing is his membership in the Heartland Open Air Preachers an evangelism group, which he's been very divisive according to our view, our perception. We want to try and reconcile and work that out. At this point, our determination is he will not be part of the group, at least for a period of time, probationary period, until we see that he's stopped his divisiveness, even though he may not believe exactly like we believe. So that's the two main points at the heart of the matter. And with that, Brother Marvin, if you want to call, and then I will take it over. So.
All right. Thank you, Brother. I also zoom in on you again. I am recording on my end, too.
Okay.
If he doesn't agree with the recording, then we're going to turn the recording off, right?
Yeah, we can turn the recording off, but I'm just going to go ahead and finish the conversation. So, well, if you won't allow a neutral witness besides the three of us in this meeting, then there's no sense to have a meeting. And we'll assure him, listen, we don't desire to publish this. You can have a copy of your own as long as you agree not to edit it. That's fine. You know, as long as you keep and you could even publish it. We don't have a problem with that as long as you don't edit it or change it. On that note, I think we have clarification about that issue, and I will talk to him about that. So, but if he doesn't agree to it, then we're just going to shut it down, and I'll just block him off the Facebook group and unfriend him at that point. I'm not going to mark him. If we don't discuss it, I'm not going to mark him. But if we have a discussion and he continues to be divisive, then we're going to mark him and separate him. But... So, am I clear about that, brother? Hello? Yes, sir, I'm here.
Everyone can hear each other?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, brothers.
Hey, good morning, Philip. How you doing?
I'm well at this
one. Good. Okay, amen. Well, let's...
funny new things to do today for a while, but, you know, other than that, it's a beautiful day on the farm, sunshine, not rain, so...
Okay. Well, we're all pretty constrained by time as well, so why don't we just get down to it. A couple things that I'm going to ask the both of you to agree to before we get started here is a third witness, which I'm going to record this conversation, audio. You're welcome to have a copy of it. I have no intention to publish it anywhere. It's just a matter of making sure that we have a unbiased recording so that we're all held accountable to what we say and that type of thing. So are you in agreement with that, Brother Philip? Okay, great. Praise the Lord. And then the second part that I wanted...
Our statements are always recorded in heaven. There's a permanent recording.
Sure, I understand that, Philip.
Our little recording isn't nearly as important as the one that the Lord records.
Yeah, I agree with that. Philip, if I may continue, I'm almost done. So... there's two parts of what we want to try and accomplish, maybe even three, but two primary parts we want to accomplish this morning. First, Brother Philip, you've made an accusation against Brother Marvin, and I want to give him a chance to answer those accusations. I'm here simply as an unbiased witness. I've worked with Brother Marvin for years, but I want to step back and let your accusation take its course and let Brother Marvin respond to those accusations. The way I'm going to do that is I'm going to give you a minute to speak, Philip, and then I will stop you, and I will ask Marvin to respond for a minute, and we'll go back and forth until we come to reconciliation and resolution on the issue of Marvin's sin, whatever that might be. And then we'll take a break from that first point, and then the second point is your membership in the Heartland Open Air Preachers and Evangelism group on Facebook. We'll deal with that secondly. Okay, so if you're agreeable with all that, Brother Philip and Brother Marvin, we'll get started.
I agree.
Okay, great. So let me, I'm going to have to wait till my timer clicks here, but give me just a second, okay? And I should have brought this up before.
Jesus, I just want to take a second to thank you for this day and this opportunity that we have to lift up your name.
Amen. So let me...
Thank you for the breath that we have. Thank you for our family, Lord. Keep them safe today where they're at. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you do.
All right. Okay, if we're ready to get started, then Brother Philip, if you would please let us know what your accusations are against Brother Marvin.
Showing you that I have personally seen you, or my spirit has discerned that you were using. I've never seen you use the words in question, the slang derogatory term for homosexuals, the word faggot. Today I'm going to refrain from using that kind of language. I believe that it's if my belief says that it's impure speech, then I shouldn't say it. Amen. I repent of using that word to express my spiritual standing with the word. If in fact you do use the word faggot when you're street preaching, my issue would be that
5 seconds.
Not loving.
Time. Okay, Brother Marvin, if you're ready to respond to what Brother Philip said, or if after this response you guys maybe want to enlarge that to 2 minutes or something longer, I think 1 minute may be a little bit too short to express ourselves properly, if you both are in agreement after Brother Marvin's response to your initial thing there, Philip.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Brother Marvin, would you like to increase it to 2 minutes after you get done responding?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Marvin.
In my opening statement here, you have accused me, starting out with you saying that I'm dead to you. You've called me stiff-necked. You've called me a coward. Those are just two of the accusations that you've called me, and those are sins. Being cowardly is a sin. Being stiff-necked is a sin. Being unteachable, you've accused me of as well. So these are accusations. These are just three of the accusations. I imagine that there are more, and I'm not going to expound so much right now, but those are just three accusations that we need to deal with. The answer part of it, probably, we don't have to really deal with that, but the coward, stiff neck, those things we do need to deal with.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, time?
That's my opening statement, he's going to go for 2 minutes now, and we'll just let him respond back to what I just said.
Okay. Yeah, that's the balance of the time there, Brother Marvin. And Brother Philip, you'll now have 2 minutes to respond to what he was saying.
Okay. All right. Brother Marvin, when it comes to being stiff-necked, when a man comes to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, being led by God to speak, and those words are rejected, we see scriptural references where that word was used to describe someone who was unwilling to change. They were unwilling to see a different viewpoint. When it comes to unteachable, it falls under the same category. Unwilling to change, unwilling to see a different position. Sometimes, if you have a defendable position, that's a godly thing. But what we're getting down to brass tacks here is about the coward thing. What this whole conversation about is a man who stands up before a crowd and uses language that is inflammatory. Now, the specifics of the situation is that you are using a word, the word F-A-G-G-O-T, and you are broadcasting it over a large group of people. And they do not understand the context of the word, even though we know that it can possibly have multiple meanings, and it can be misconstrued. As a representative, or as a representative of Christ, we should be very clear in our message. It should be the gospel message. There are men in the profession who use that word and they only use it to draw a crowd for pride, and we know that it happens. Amen. The fact that we know that it happens means that we should distance ourselves from them men, and we should actually ostracize them because they are in sin. And by the spirit of discernment, the Lord gives us the knowledge and the wisdom to come out and put that brother from among ourselves. Amen. If we know that brother is doing that, we should stand up to him and ostracize him. Rebuke him openly after we have taken the scriptural way about it. If you come to him first and you have witnesses and you openly chastise him.
Philip, your time has expired.
All right,
you got 2 minutes, Brother Marvin. Go ahead.
So, Brother Philip, my question is going to be directly, I don't want to get into a debate right at this point about what words we use or don't use. The question I will ask you directly, are you accusing me of being a coward and accusing me of being stiff-necked? Yes or no? I want direct answers to these direct questions. And then we need to deal with how am I a coward and how am I stiff-necked, which you kind of did explain a little bit about how I am stiff-necked, and I'm not willing to see your view concerning this. So if your view is different than mine, and my conviction is different than your conviction, then by what standard are you judging me? And are you judging me on the Word of God? And then what scripture do you have to back up what you're saying? So these, when you're accusing a brother and the Lord or a sister, you need to have scripture, and you need to have something solid there. You can't go by your opinion. It's not our opinion that matters. It's God's opinion.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that and look forward to your response.
Okay, the balance of your time is forfeited. Hang on, Philip.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, the balance of your time is forfeited there, Brother Marvin. You had about 40 seconds left. You now have 2 minutes, Brother Philip. Go ahead.
Okay. Brother Marvin, scripturally, it tells us to let no filthy communication come out of our mouth. It's not my wisdom that says it's filthy communication. The Holy Spirit convicts me and all men that if you stand up and you call somebody a name to wound them. Now, there's a difference between wounding someone out of the flesh and then wounding them in the spirit with the Word of God. I'm accusing many street preachers of wounding people in the flesh for their prideful intent of inciting people to get a bigger crowd to make themselves look better on YouTube for their videos. As far as being a coward, any person who will stand up and use a word in the flesh to draw a crowd and to incite people, the word F-A-G-G-O-T, for instance, if they will use that word, but then they won't use the N-I-G-G-E-R word to describe a bunch of unlearned people, if their fear keeps them from preaching, because if they disrespect one group with the F-A-G-G-O-T word, those people are more docile and will not put their hands on them. But if you stand up for a crowd and start calling them a bunch of ignorant people and calling them N-I-G-G-E-R-S in the same voice tone that you use the word F-A-G-G-O-T, that crowd would turn and rend you. And there are several preachers who know this fact, and they refuse to use the N-I-G-G-E-R word because they will definitely get beat up. They will definitely get abused. And the reason why is because they are in the flesh. They are not protected by the Spirit. They wouldn't be receiving persecution for a spiritual matter. They would be receiving it for a physical, fleshly matter. So, if you do in fact get up and use the word F-A-G-G-O-T,
seconds.
But you won't use the other one. You are a coward by all definitions.
Your time is
fearful
Philip,
of the repercussion
Philip,
that will come
Philip,
for preaching hard.
Philip, so, Philip, your time has expired.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so I would ask you to try to listen carefully when I'm doing that. I'm saying 5 seconds before the time expires to give you and Marvin a chance to wrap up your thought quickly. I don't expect you to go beyond that. Okay, and if I tell you again, please stop. That's what I would like you to do. And so, Brother Marvin, you...
I apologize, I didn't hear you, John.
No, that's okay. I'll try to be a little bit louder. I'm trying not to be too intrusive into this, but... Brother Marvin, you have 2 minutes, please.
All right, so Brother Philip, I still haven't heard a Bible scripture from you other than don't let any interior communication come out of your mouth. Who decides what's wrong communication, what's right communication? My next question for you. And then also, what about using the word hell, using the word whore, using the word bastard, using the word dung? These are all words from the Bible. The whore, whore is all throughout the Bible. The word hell, the word hell can be used as a curse word, as we know, as we're preaching to sinners, and we say, sinner, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. And then the sinner says to you, go to hell, preacher. Now, he used it as a curse word. I didn't. So the next question I have for you is, can you use faggot without it being a curse word? Does the cursing come from the word, or does the cursing come from the heart? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I'm using that word, and I'm not using it in a derogatory manner, but I'm using it in the term that it's used in, just like hell, just like whore, just like bastard, what would be the issue with that, I guess, would be on that part. And so, and the thing is that I've been through this already. I've already had this discussion with other preachers and other people on my Facebook, and it's always come to the same determination that this is a doubtful disputation. And Romans 14:12 says that we will all give an account to God in the day of judgment.
5 seconds.
Having to deal with doubtful disputations.
Time. And I just want to interject here real quick a point of clarification and to kind of bring back the focus of the first part of this conversation that we're having is Marvin mentioned it two time periods ago. What exactly is his sin? And so with that, Brother Philip, I will let you respond, please. Thank you.
Marvin, when it comes to who decides whether it's filthy communication or not, the Lord decides. And the Holy Spirit, through the spirit of discernment, the spiritual gift of discernment, we are able to see into someone's heart and see their intent. We see several instances where Jesus was able, through the spirit of discernment, to see into the Pharisees' heart and where they hated him and wanted to kill him for no reason. On that same premise, I discern that this really isn't about just you, Brother Marvin. This is about our profession lives. And I know we're trying to keep this between us. So I'll answer that. Who decides? God does. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us and says it. What makes a word a curse word? I think that the person on the receiving end, the people who hear the word, are the ones who interpret a word as a cuss word. So if you're speaking to a crowd and you say a word and they all interpret it as a curse word, then there's a problem that lies there. Filthy communication is classified as it's offensive to a bunch of people. And it's offensive to God. It's offensive to the Holy Spirit. And so if it's offensive to me and I'm a spirit-filled man who can be tested according to the word and will pass that test wholly by the power of God, if it's offensive to me, it's offensive to God. Amen? So can you use the word faggot? Can you use that? I would reply with that, is it in the Bible? I think that's a safe standard for us to judge our speech on. Is the word in the Bible? I'm an advocate for the word whoremonger. I'm an advocate for hard preaching. But that I am not an advocate for using the word that Ralph LeBlanc and Nazis are using the same exact language, and there's no difference in our message. If it's interpreted as hate coming from the Nazis, why should we associate ourselves with hateful men of the flesh? They are using the same exact language
time,
we are, and the people that we're speaking to don't know we're calling them.
Time. Time, Philip. Time. Philip, you're 12 seconds over time. I'm going to penalize you 15 seconds on your 15 seconds on your next speech if you don't stop doing that. I'm speaking more than loud enough for you to hear me if you're listening. So please don't amp up your volume as you respond to Marvin. Okay, we want to keep this civil. We want to keep this loving between brethren. Okay? Now we're, at this point, we're about, I'm going to have to reset my timer here, hang on a second, about 40 seconds over. As I said, you went 12 seconds over, and so what I'm going to do, if you do that again, I'm not going to penalize you now, but if you do it in the future in this conversation, I'm going to double your time and penalize that on your next response time. Do you understand? I'm not being a Nazi. I'm not being a Nazi here, Philip. I'm just simply trying to bring this thing under control. I want to be very careful how we do this with each other. You know, judging a brother is a very, very serious issue. Okay? Very serious issue. So, on that note, I will let Brother Marvin, let me reset my timer here, and Brother Marvin, you have 2 minutes, please.
Okay, so Brother Philip, if the crowd determines whether it's sin or not, I say you're going to hell, sinner, if you don't repent, they determine that hell is a curse word. I say, you woman, you're dressed like a whore. And that woman says, that's a curse word. And these are Bible words. Or I say to you, sinners, that if you don't repent, that you are all like bastards. Another Bible word. They determine that bastard is a curse word. Is that a curse word then? So the question is, once again, who makes that determination, Philip? Who makes that determination? And is the word dung a curse word? In today's, we don't say the word dung. The sinners say the word S-H-I-T, which I do not use. I consider that to be a curse word. I do not use words like fee, sucking, whatever. You know, I don't say those words. I have used the word faggot one time in preaching. When we were called faggots in the Pride Festival, Brother Quentin went ahead and used that word and then gave him the definition. When I used the word faggot, I gave the definition. So we do use that word, but we're very careful about how we do use it. We also use the word homo. And lesbo, dyke, slut, we use all these words in conjunction with when we're preaching, and all those words, according to the sinners, and possibly you, would be considered curse words. But we are not cursing from our hearts, nor are we trying to draw across our videos.
Your time has expired, Brother Marvin. And Brother Philip, if you would like to respond, please, 2 minutes.
Marvin, no amount of physical force, no amount of us trying to force that seed in there is ever going to work. No amount of physical force will plant a supernatural seed. I witnessed Brother Quentin Decker, and now I'm posting some beautiful videos this weekend where they obviously made an attempt to not use certain words that certain Christians, upstanding men of God, view as improper. I think that we should stop looking at what the sinners think and start looking at what the brethren think. The men of God who are standing up for the name of Jesus and standing up for our witness and trying to keep our witness pure. But there are a lot of us who are standing up and raising our hands and saying, look, as a church body, as men of God, we should not be using this because the Holy Spirit is convicting us. So, that this is wrong. That there's the word slut. I mean, come on, there's 50 different words we can use other than that. We should not be identified with the world. We should be visibly separate. separate from them. That cuts deep enough. We don't need to go to the next level of sluts. Look, if I won't say it in front of my 5-year-old child, then if I won't let him say it, then we shouldn't be using it. We should be with little children. Amen? We're supposed to rebuke sharply. We're supposed to preach with all authority. And the word will cut itself. We don't need to force the seed in there. We don't need to forcefully... this isn't something that look, if people can't understand physical things, how can they understand spiritual?
5 seconds. And your time is your time's expired, Brother Philip. Okay, I'm going to remind both of you this first part of this conversation is dealing with Brother Marvin's sin. So Brother Marvin, I believe, explained himself in the rare occasion he has used that word and how he's used it. If Brother Philip, you don't consider him in sin now, my supposition is that you probably owe him an apology for the accusations you made against him. And we can resolve the first part of this conversation and then go on to the philosophical issues of whether or not we should use this word or that word in the open air. So if you have no direct accusations against Marvin now, that's what I would think would be appropriate, and then we can proceed.
I think my direct accusation would be that there are brothers out here who are calling for this to stop. I want to, as the Holy Spirit,
this is another brother Philip. Let me stop you for a second. This is not talking. Right. They're not talking about other brothers. The direct accusations are that I am stiff-necked and I am a coward. Do you still say that I am a sin?
If you are rejecting the Holy Spirit's call for you to quit using the word S-H-E-T-O-T for all of us too, if you're rejecting that, you're still being stiff-necked. Yes. If you do not go out there and use the S-H-E-T-O-T word in a fleshly manner, then I cannot say you are a coward, because the only coward would be a man who would use that word in a fleshly manner, but not the N-I-G-G-E-R word. And we've discussed that.
Let's stop there, please. Philip, let's stop there. And so it seems to me like you're unwilling to apologize to him then. Is that correct?
Unwilling to apologize?
I can't
say that he is a... My understanding with the way he used the F-H-E-G-O-T word, he was taking a position defending it. And so he was siding with those who would be considered cowards.
Yeah, we're not
forgiveness for calling him a coward. As far as being stiff-necked, if he's still refusing the counsel of a man of God by the Holy Spirit, if he is going to intend on going and using this word in the future, which God, I hope he doesn't, but if he is going to insist on holding this vocabulary, then I do hold my position that he is stiff-necked.
That's fine.
And
Brother Philip, I'd ask you to stop again, okay? Because now we've stepped out of the 2-minute realm here, okay? And now we're going to either have to modify what we're doing, or since it seems like you still think he's stiff-necked and cowardly, and so the accusation stands against Brother Marvin. And at this point, in order to resolve that, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to make a couple statements, and let me just take 2 minutes myself to respond as I see what I see here between the two of you, okay? And then we can go back with we can either decide to do a cross-examination period about this, and then proceed into the second main point of what we're trying to do here, and that's your membership in HOPE. So. On that note, I'll go ahead and start my time of 2 minutes. And the first thing I would say, Brother Philip, is that you have set a standard. You assert you're getting the standard from the Holy Ghost. I assert that all saints of God are walking according to the Holy Ghost, and some have more knowledge and more understanding than others. The standard that you set about certain words, faggot, slut, etc., are not defined by the Bible as being sin. The Bible uses many, many harsh words, and the standard that you had set during your conversation with Brother Marvin this morning is that the sinner determines what is the standard. If they're offended, they think it's a harsh word or a curse word, then it's a curse word. Well, that's ungodly because Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who takes not the counsel of the ungodly." So when the ungodly tell me, "Oh, you're doing this all wrong, you shouldn't use these words," I tell them, "Listen, you're a sinner by your own professions, by your own mouth you've revealed, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, you've revealed that you approve of sin and you promote sin, even though you claim to be a Christian or otherwise, and so thus I do not take your counsel." See, the problem here, Philip, I think is you think that the sinners are victims instead of being rebels. You need to have a paradigm shift in the view, in your view of what a sinner is. A sinner is not ignorant, a victim of their sin or the devil's or even God, but they are open in rebellion. They have all the knowledge they need to come to God, but they just don't want to come to God. Okay, so in summary, you have set a standard. You tried to come in and teach our group a standard, which we reject, and we will not accept. We normally don't use those words as a standard, but we're going to continue in the way we think is righteous, and if you don't accept that, then it can't be accepted. So on that note, the balance of my time is finished. Brother Philip, let me give Marvin a chance to respond to my thoughts, and then Philip, you can go, and we'll just do a three-way here, if that's okay with you guys. Brother Marvin, please, 2 minutes.
Yes, so I'll just add to that. Brother Philip, it seems that you are more concerned, and I'm saying seems, I'm not accusing you of this, I'm saying it seems this way. It seems that you are more concerned about the sinner's feelings than you are your brother's feelings. And it seems that you're more concerned about offending a sinner than you are your own brother. And I would ask you to take that to prayer and ask God, I mean, because I kept on telling you over and over again in private message, be careful when you're accusing a brother, because we know that when we have accusations, and if they're false accusations, we know who the false accuser of the brethren is, which is the devil.
Amen.
If we become a false accuser of the brethren, which I'm believing that you are, that's what I'm accusing you of today, then you are a child of the devil, according to the Bible, not according to me. And that is something that you need to reconcile with, and you need to take a look at. I know I still have more time, but I'm going to forfeit my time right now, because I want to get this summed up a little quicker if we can.
Okay, Brother Philip, you've got 2 minutes, please.
Okay, but this is not about what them low sinners, this is not about what they think. It's not. It's about what God thinks. It's about what God feels. It's about men being responsible with the image of Christ. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I want you to think about one thing, and I'm just trying to plant a seed here. I can't convince you of anything, but God can. Kids watch what you do. Children will listen to your messages. And if the word slut is a cuss word to a child, it's a cuss word to everybody. If the word faggot is a cuss word to a child, it's a cuss word to everybody. You're not going to let your children go to school and use the word slut or faggot. And if it's not in their vocabulary, it should not be in yours. As far as being ungodly counsel, I'm coming to you in the Holy Spirit and saying that we are supporting men who are using language that would get our kids kicked out of school, and that I'm concerned that we are standing up as the representatives of Christ and using the same language, that there's no differentiation between men who use this language in the world. You ain't no different to anybody else. They cannot see a difference in you, and I cannot make that any clearer. And if you reject that counsel and you call that counsel ungodly, you might want to pray about that, Mormon. You're calling the spirit that I'm operating in, a humble, loving spirit that's saying, look, we're using fleshly world terms here. Now, them sinners, look, you can use any word in the Bible you want, but when everybody around you, the words that you say are cuss words, they're cuss words no matter what you say or what position that you begin to defend. It's impossible. And so to call my counsel ungodly, you're calling the Holy Spirit ungodly. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit by
5 seconds.
Then I'm leading you in the wrong way.
And time.
The Holy Spirit.
Time.
That's another accusation.
Time. Okay, it's this will be my turn. I'll have 2 minutes, and I will begin that now. Okay, Brother Philip, again, you've accomplished in making another accusation against Brother Matt, Brother Marvin, that he is not walking the Holy Spirit. He's blaspheming the Spirit through associations. I hear that going on too, because we won't rebuke and reprove people in the open air community according to your standard, because the Holy Spirit has shown you, but all the other saints of God in the open air community, they're not walking according to the Spirit according to you, because they're using certain methods or certain words to preach with. And so you've set an arbitrary standard. Now Philip has become the arbiter of the Holy Ghost, and that is problematic in and of itself. You say you come in a humble manner, but I have the whole evidence of that thread that blew up the other day. It was a Thursday, I think, the thread that blew up, and you were not humble at all. You were prideful. You were divisive. You were accusatory, not just to Brother Marvin, but many. You were very, very rude, which is not love. Love is not rude, Philip. You've been very rude to me. You think you have some kind of authority with us when we don't even know you. Our group does not accept your standard, and thus there's the problem. You haven't been willing to listen very well. I'm thankful today you're controlling yourself and giving us the benefit of allowing us to express ourselves during these time periods. So I'm praising God for that. And in regards to your planting a seed thing, no physical man can do that. We all agree with that. We all believe in the spiritual seed, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. The Holy Ghost does that work, and we operate according to that. And I have 5 seconds. I'm going to go ahead and forfeit the balance of my time. And Brother Philip, if you want to respond to some of those things I spoke about, I'd really appreciate it. Go ahead. Turn right. Is it Marvin's turn? Okay, go ahead, Brother Marvin.
Alright, so I was gonna say this now. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? This is gonna become an endless debate on words. Brother Philip is not in agreement with us, so therefore I move for him to be removed from the Hope Group. I've determined that I might unfriend him on Facebook. I've asked you, Brother Philip, to quit commenting on my wall until we talked. You did not uphold your end of that bargain. You were still on my wall last night and on my wall this morning. So you're not a man of your word on that. You definitely lack the fruit of self-control because you lack the self-control to stay off my wall until we talk. So I'm moving for him to be removed from the whole group. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? We can disagree on these things, but then you're going to have to find another group, brother. And I'm done.
Okay, Brother Marvin forfeits the balance of his time, and I have 2 minutes. And I'm going to come as a second witness in agreement with that, brother. Brother Philip, we're not going to allow you on our group for a period of time. We don't know what that might be. I believe you would be a great asset to our group, but you've set up an arbitrary standard, as I've already outlined, about words. We don't agree with that, and so we don't condemn you for not agreeing with it. We don't condemn you for not using those words that we might sometimes use, but we exhort you to stop condemning the brethren out in the open air or online without first talking to each one of these brothers that you accused. You accused Jesse Morrell and many, many others of false things. You accused Jesse Morrell of shock and awe preaching so he can gather a crowd for his pride so he can make videos. That's a ridiculous accusation. And I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I asked you directly, have you contacted them? If you're not contacting these people that you're accusing, Matthew 18 provides the guidance to you. You must contact them individually, go through that. If you think they're in sin, then bring a second witness, a neutral witness, not somebody who's heard your accusations, but somebody, an unbiased witness, in order to hear your accusation against them, and let that unbiased witness try to help you mediate the situation with that individual brother. If you love the brethren, Philip, this is my admonition to you. You will take the time to do with each individual preacher, and there are not that many in the open air, you can't do this, about this thing that you suppose the Holy Ghost is leading you to do. And on that note, I think I'll just summarize my thoughts. You are going to be removed from the group this morning as soon as we get done with this conversation. We admonish you to stop accusing the brethren. Amen. And Brother Philip, I'll give you a last 2 minutes to respond to all these things and either repent and apologize to us or continue in your line of thinking. Thank you.
Before the Lord, my conscience is clean. You gentlemen are convicted in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that you are actually guilty of what I'm bringing to you. You know that you're kicking against the pricks. You know that this message has had an impact because there was a pride parade where the word faggot wasn't used. Was the Lord for saying that? That word was not used by the men. There was actually fruit that was garnered. There was men who came to repentance. So I still stand behind the fact that you are stiff-necked, that you are of the flesh, that you do this for YouTube videos. There are some of you who genuinely do this out of love for people. But the fact remains that you hold on to a position that you shouldn't be in, and that many men of God with the Holy Spirit do reject what you do and will continue to reject what you do. I pray that the seed that I've planted, that it will bring repentance, that you will realize the error of your ways, that through the Holy Ghost, he would show you what being tough is one thing, but you can go too far. That you got to realize that Jesus is standing there right there beside you, and you're throwing mud on him when you act a certain way. There is such a thing as acts that are becoming of a Christian man, that they are to see the light in you. And with that, remove me from your group, because the Lord says to put that wicked man from among you, and any man who
wicked man. And by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit, you'll get the discernment. It's not me saying this. It's the Lord saying this. You may need to repent. You need to humble yourselves. Come back to the cross. You need to get a grasp on your tongue. Because a perfect man can bridle his tongue. Bridle your tongue when you're preaching the gospel. The flesh can have you go outside of that. Amen? Be careful in what you say. Be careful accusing men of being a son of Satan. Because you can have this on recording all day long, but it's all recorded in heaven. It doesn't matter what men think. When the Holy Ghost comes to you and you reject it, it's written down in heaven. Amen. And with that, I love you guys. I love you, and I know this will have fruit.
We love you. We love you as well, Philip. And like we said, you're welcome to come back to the group and approach us again in the future. If you change your position, your views on this, we're not going to block you. We're just going to unfriend you personally, both of us. And we're going to ask you not to post on our walls, not to come against us. If you do, we'll be forced to block you. We don't want to block you. We want to let the communication line stay open. But we're not going to allow you to post your arbitrary opinions about our the way we do our open-air preaching on our walls. So if you understand all that, we bid you adieu. We love you as well. And God bless you. And we hope that...
I have one more question. Sure. John, I got one more question. I would like to have an open public debate. Public. In person. About
okay.
this matter.
Well, you know, I was praying about that this morning, and I hoped you might say that. So let me look at my schedule. Are you talking to me or Marvin, or somebody else you might want to debate?
I don't know. Now that that's on the table, I just wanted to put it on the table. And
sure.
If you're open to it,
I'm open to
then,
it.
Then let's pray about it. And
sure.
let the Lord, look, there's a pride parade in Memphis that you guys are going to be at. I'm going to be there, the Lord willing, next month, here in about 3 weeks. I think that would be a great time to be able to sit down after we're done preaching at the end of the day and sit around with the brothers and talk about this together. I think that things are much more, I think the Spirit can work better in person than it can over the phone. I mean,
well, at this point, Philip, at this point...
Philip, or are you looking to have a conversation again? We just had a conversation. The debate is looking at a conversation.
I don't really see how it's any different. I mean, I'm not a politician, guys. I've never sat down and actually had a formal debate with anyone. To me, conversation. I think it's clear that Paul disputed daily in the synagogues about the Word of God and about the truth of God, and I'm willing to sit down with anybody and discuss this, because the truth is the truth, and I genuinely love you guys. I do. I mean, on that thread, whenever we got into it, it was like 7-3. I wasn't the only one who's saying that you guys were wrong for what you're doing. You know what I mean? There were other people there. It was like, hold on now. You guys are wrong for what you're doing. So you got to take into consideration that I'm not the only one that feels like this. There are men of God that you claim to be men of God who also oppose you. So, yeah, I'm thinking maybe in Memphis next month, Lord willing, we could set a date there.
Okay, that's 2 minutes, Philip. I don't want to keep... Hang on, Marvin. That's 2 minutes, Philip. If we're going to continue our conversation, we're going to have to do it like that, because the pattern I've seen every time I try to talk to you, Philip, I get overrun, and you may be feeling like that as well. So I think if we're going to continue the conversation, if we're done with it, great. If we're not, let me respond to some of the things actually, it would be Marvin's turn, wouldn't it? Brother Marvin, if you want to respond, you got 2 minutes.
Great. Going back to a comment you had said earlier about Brother Clinton and such a great video he put up, did you know I was standing right next to him? Did you know that before Brother Clinton preached, prayed with that man and got him in his repentance? That's what he did in his repentance. And he did pray with the guy, and the guy repented, that I had a good... 10-15 minute conversation with them. Did you know that? Did you know that Brother Quentin and I preach together almost all the time? That almost every time he preaches, I preach, and vice versa.
saw that Brother Clinton has a video called Sluts, Dixie Chick Sluts. So this is the same person. You're judging fruits from a 5-10 minute video. You're not judging the whole person. You're judging just certain attributes, and then you're doing it arbitrary, as Brother John has said. You're being arbitrary. You're the one that's making the decisions. You're the one that's making the standards. And you have no Bible verse. You have one Bible verse to back it up, but nowhere in the Bible does it clearly say that these words are cuss words. So, once again, you are the one that's making the standard. It's your standard, not ours.
Nor is he. Hold up. You're saying your wife's not a cuss word.
Philip, don't interrupt, please. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, hold on. That's ridiculous.
No, Philip, don't interrupt, please.
Right. It's your standards. It's your standards, Philip, not ours, not God.
You teach your kids the same standard.
Philip, you're interrupting again.
Right. You're not using self-control, brother. There's a reason you need to work on that. So... I don't foresee a conversation in the future, but if you want to do a formal debate, I would recommend that you and Brother John sit down and do a formal debate.
Yeah, that's your balance of time, Marvin. Let me reset. Okay, so some of the things I want to respond to in this is, first of all, Brother Philip, not only are you not welcome in our group until you change your mind about your standard, if you come to Memphis to come against us while we're out preaching at the Pride Parade, for sure there's going to be a mark upon you as being a divisive man. If you come out in the open air, as you've already expressed several times to us, and rebuke us in the open air for using certain words, then your fruit is definitely revealed. I think we've seen plenty of fruit from you, bad fruit, not controlling yourself, not living up to your word, that we definitely have questions about the way you're walking. And so when you submit to us that you're walking according to the Holy Spirit humbly, and the Holy Spirit's told you this about that standard, we can see already that there's problems with that. So we would admonish you to examine yourself. I welcome you to come to Pride Parade, but you're not welcome to preach with us. You can preach down the block. We if you want to debate us in the open air, that's going to be too bad, but I hope you don't decide to do that. As far as a public debate between you and I welcome it. I do have to look at my schedule. As I said, I have a very busy schedule the next few months, maybe somewhere in like December. That way we both could really study it out, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to repent, like you keep saying. But I've been studying this, Philip, for many years. I've been studying this. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck and get born again yesterday. I've been studying this issue for many, many years, and I had very seasoned elders try to bring the same yoke upon me that you're trying to bring upon us right now. And I reject it, because it's not biblical, it's arbitrary, and you think because the sinners are offended at certain words or certain consonants or sounds or certain inflections of my voice, that that becomes the standard. So on that note,
I'm the one offended, John, not the sinners, man. Please understand that. I'm offended by it.
Okay, I'm going to restart your time. I'm starting your time, Philip. You have 2 minutes, Philip. Please go.
It's not the sinners that I'm worried about being offended. It's the men of God who are offended by what you're doing. It's not, they're going to be offended no matter what we do. The Word of God is offended. I don't care if they're offended. I care about the witness of Jesus Christ. I care about the young Christians, the young people who are seeing this language, and they think that the word slut is okay to use when it's not. It's never okay to call someone a slut. That's a curse word on any playground. And if our children should not use the language, we should not use the language. We should not be speaking words that we do not allow our children to use. That is a double standard. We should be as children. We have to become as little children to enter the kingdom. I beg you, brothers. I beg you to reconsider your position. It's not about the sinners being offended. It's about a man with a heart for I have a heart for sinners like you do. I wish they would all come to repentance. But it grieves my spirit that men are out there using words that the word
said, I can't see any difference between you and the Nazis on the corner. I can't see any difference in you guys, John. Can't you understand that? That there's angels who witness what we do. They discern what we say. No matter what we say, they discern and they know and they go back to the Father and they say, there's no difference in them and the world. There's no difference in the words they use. There's no difference in the spirit that comes out of some of them men, and I'm saying we should come out from among them men. We should be different. I'm not saying that you two are specifically guilty of hate, but there are men in our profession that we associate with closely, that we profess to love and we hold close and we love on them when they deserve to be ostracized.
5 seconds.
Bring these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I close.
Your time is done. All right, Brother Marvin, this is going to be my last response coming up. Brother Marvin, if you wanted to respond, you're welcome to, and then I'll finish up.
Yes, I'll respond one more time. I'll say, Brother Philip, if you're going to be consistent in your view, then you need to go ahead and unfriend all these people that you consider brothers that are in error, if you're going to be consistent in your view. Unless you decide you want to remain friends with them and hoping that you'll persuade them. I do that with certain people on Facebook. But if you're going to be consistent with your view, you know, obviously guys like Brother Clinton, Brother Timothy Brown, you know, like guys like Brother Jesse Morell, I don't know if you're friends with him or not, but I mean, these are all people that we all use, we use different types of preaching and different methods, might say. I know everyone has their own way of doing things at times. Some people prefer to go hand out gospel tracts or hold signs. Some people hold bullhorns. I'm encouraged at the fact that you still, you know, that at least you're out there doing something and you are preaching. And I do appreciate that because at least the gospel is being preached. And maybe you could make that same determination on your part that at least the gospel is being preached. Because it is. One way or another. Some people do it out of spite. Some people do it out of for this reason or that reason. But Paul said, I praise God that the gospel is being preached.
Brother, do you remember what verse that is? Brother Marvin, do you remember what verse that is?
I'll find it while you're making your next comment, and I can actually end my comment there. And when we're done, when you're done with your part, brother, then I'll give you the scripture, okay?
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Marvin. Okay, let me reset the clock here. Okay, and that's one verse I would give you, Brother Philip, is that verse that we praise God that the gospel is preached. That if the motive is wrong of the preacher, if the method is wrong of the preacher, the fact that they're out there telling people to fear God, which is definitely a part of the gospel, to repent of their sin, whether you think the preacher's in sin or not, and to do this work, very difficult, hard ground in America for them to deal with, I praise God that they're out there. I pray for them. I pray for God to lift up more laborers. I'm not trying to bring any divisions among the brethren. I'm not accusing brethren without first going to them individually, then bringing a witness, and then bringing them before the church, the ecclesia, to give an account for what they've done if they've sinned. So I admonish you again to stop using this standard that we don't agree with and we don't think you can prove from the Bible against preachers you don't even know and haven't even talked to, I suppose. Now I'm going to run down a list of preachers that I would admonish you, according to your view, to contact personally. Jed Smock, Reuben Israel, Jim Gillis.
Hold on, John. I'm writing these down.
Oh, that's fine. I can send you a list in email. That's fine. Let me just run through them for the audio's sake, and then I'll send you the list later. Jim Gillis, Micah Armstrong, Jesse Morell, Kerrigan Skelly, Tracy Bays, myself, of course. You've already talked to me and admonished me and Marvin, Brother Timothy Brown, and the list, I'll send you an extensive list, probably hundreds maybe, if I have the time to get that done today. Okay, and explain to each of them your standard and find out why you think you're right in walking according to the Holy Ghost in this matter. Okay, So let me be clear. Our position at this point right now is you're not part of Hope Group. We're going to just unfriend you. We're not going to block you in the hopes that we might be able to open the communication later on if you change your mind. We're not interested in PM debates or you posting on our wall about your opposition to words and that kind of thing. If you're willing to control yourself and just consider it, study it out, then maybe in December sometime we can have an open, formal debate about it. I would really appreciate that. I'd like to do that. But right now I'm too hard-pressed to even put that on my plate. So with that, Brother Marvin, do you have that? Let me give you two more verses if I might extend my time a little bit. One is Jesus said, the apostles came to Jesus and said, hey, they're casting out demons and doing miracles. And he said, are they against us? No, they're not against us. Well, if they're not against us, they're for us. Okay, so if they're not, if Jesus was saying that, they're not against us, they're for us, then I would submit that to you as well.
John, the apostle said they don't follow us. They don't follow along behind us.
Right, I'm not following you. I'm not following you right now, Philip, okay? Let me just finish my thought. I got one more point to make, and then I'll let Marvin bring forth his scripture. And that is that there's sin to some people, okay? You know, if it's a sin to you, I admonish you not to use those words. And if it's a stumbling block to you, we're out there at Pride Parade, and any of us using the word faggot, if that's a stumbling block to you, well, we won't use it there. But for you to ask us to reject people that we've known and loved and worked with on the battlefield for years because of what you think is righteous according to the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have to prove it. And I would ask you to study hard and prove it from scriptures that the use of the word faggot or whore or any other harsh slut, any harsh word, is unbiblical and uncalled for, okay? So on that note, I'll let Brother Marvin give the scripture, and then I'll let you one last response for a few minutes later, Brother Philip. Thank you.
It grieves me. It's a stumbling saying, hey, if this is offending the little brother, we should stop it. Look, everybody needs to quit using that word because it offends a brother. It's not that it offends the sinners. It's offending brothers. Multiple of us are coming to you guys and saying it's hurting us. And you refuse to quit. So, in closing, I love you guys. I look forward to the Pride Parade. I'm praying that the Lord would go before us and that there's seed that has already been sown that we can reap the harvest. Amen. The harvest is ripe. It's ready. They're begging for the word of God. But please don't be a stumbling block to some of us who come there to preach with you, not against you. Where I'm not against you, I am with you. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. And I'm gonna repeat his sentiment. Lo, I am with you always. I'm 100% behind the name of Jesus being lifted up. But if I come to you and say, look, this is hurting me, please don't do it. Please don't. I love you guys.
Hey, we love you too, Brother Philip. God bless you, and hope to hear from you soon.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Have a good day. All right, that is our discussion with Philip Gage, Brother Philip Gage, and I think it went pretty well. Again, it's the 29th of August, 2016. Praise the Lord.